Harlan Coben wrote a book a few years ago, and if you like mysteries, I would highly recommend reading this book. It's pretty good. But Harlan wrote a book called The Stranger. Now, for some of you who don't like books but like TV shows, it is a show on Netflix, so you can watch it. I haven't watched the Netflix show, so I don't know if it's any good. But the book is pretty good. I mean, as good as a paperback mystery can be, but it's pretty good. But there's a really interesting story that happens within the plot. See, there's a man named Adam Price, and Adam Price is the main character of this book. And Adam is a lawyer. And all of a sudden, he meets somebody at like a bar. Not a bar, but like a VA or something like that. He's sitting there waiting for his wife to finish up lacrosse tryout surveys, whatever. Doesn't matter. But a man comes up to him, and he gives him an envelope. And in the envelope is some information about his wife. His wife had gone to this obscure website and had made a purchase. She had purchased, they call them empathy bellies, but it was a very lifelike body covering that makes you look like you're pregnant. Now, this was really confusing. One, because they already had two kids, and his wife wasn't pregnant so far as he knew. The other thing was, this was a really strange thing to do. Why would you buy something like this? And as the reader, you're really confused. Why would Corinne buy this? I mean, she seems like a happy mother. She has a good business. They live in this, you know, moderately small town in New Jersey. They seem to have a good life. Why would she buy a lifelike pregnancy belly? Seems like a weird thing, right? But then we find out that early on, before they had gotten married, that Corinne had faked a pregnancy to try to save the relationship. Now, over time, Adam is confused about this, but then his wife goes missing. And he tries to find his wife. He tries to track her down. And so he begins, as it happens in a mystery, right? You know, somebody has to go missing. And he's trying to find her. And he starts to meet with people that he found out she had these relationships with. And he meets a woman named Susan. And Susan was a serial pregnancy faker. She would go from place to place, she would go from restaurants, and she would play it out where she would show up and she would have a smaller bump. She had several sized baby, you know, fake baby bump things. And she would go, and this woman, Susan, would talk to people, and everybody would say, "Oh, hey, Susie, how you doing?" And she would talk about the baby and talk about her pregnancy. And she would go to these places for months and months and months until, you know, you can only do that for so many months, right? And then she would just disappear, and then she would go to another place. And Adam asks her about this, and he said, "Why are you doing this? What compels you to fake this pregnancy? What would cause you to do this, to deceive people like this?" And she said, she explains that years ago, she found out that she couldn't have children. And on a whim, she decided to fake it. And she saw how differently everybody treated her, and she began to get addicted to the attention and the niceness and the kindness that people showed. Everybody wanted to know about the baby. Everybody wanted to talk to her. Everybody wanted to care for her. Everybody wanted to pat the belly and all that, you know, which I found out, like, women generally don't like. So some of you may know that, some of you don't. But just randomly groping strangers normally isn't the best plan. But, you know, different strokes for different folks, you know. But she loved the attention, and she got addicted to it. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, if you wouldn't mind. In Luke 1, 39, we read, At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, we are all pretty familiar with this passage. We are all pretty used to it. There are only really 3-4 chapters of the Bible that deal with the birth of Christ, and Christmas comes every year. So we kind of get the same passages year after year after year. And so I'm guessing most of you are pretty familiar with Elizabeth's story. But this morning, I want us to consider Elizabeth's story in light of this theme that we have. Our theme for the past couple weeks, our theme for Advent has been Christ in you, that we want to be like Mary. Mary was the God-bearer. Mary was the Christotokos, the Christ-bearer. Christ was in her. And we want to consider what that means for us, for Christ to be in us. So this morning, I want us to focus on this little event and talk about the implications that this has for us. So Mary goes to greet Elizabeth. Now, why does Mary go to Elizabeth? There are a couple technical reasons for this. One, it was a tradition for a woman after the marriage contract, the first part of a marriage contract had been signed, to go into a form of isolation, that she would go away from her husband-to-be, and this allowed things to develop. If a baby showed up, you learned something about your spouse, or everybody learned something about the husband, right? So this was a way that it was just a tradition, and it was a habit, so that happened. But the other reason why she goes to Elizabeth is because the angel tells her that if she goes to Elizabeth, she will receive a sign. The sign the angel gives, and by the way, Mary didn't ask for a sign. Mary says, well, how can this happen because I'm a virgin? She wasn't questioning the angel. She wasn't questioning God. She was just saying, this is astounding. How is God going to make this happen? What's God going to have to do to accomplish this? This is very different, by the way, from Zechariah's question. Zechariah's question was a question of doubt. Mary's question was a question of wonder, but that's another whole sermon series. So she goes to Elizabeth. The angel tells her that the vindication and the verification that she will bear the Christ, that she was indeed bearing the Christ, would come from Elizabeth. Look at what the angel says. Look at verse 35 of chapter 1. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." So the angel is saying, go to Elizabeth and you will see proof that what I am saying is true. And so she goes. And when she gets there, she enters the home. Mary greets them. And what happens? The baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Now, I want you to pay attention here. We're not going to go into the Greek here. I just want you to know that word right there for baby is the word for baby. It's not the word for fetus. This is the same word you would use for a suckling child. It's a word for baby or infant. Luke was a medical doctor, by the way. Luke doesn't say the fetus in her womb. Luke doesn't say the clump of cells in her womb. Luke doesn't say this thing that will someday be a person leaped in her womb. The baby leaped in her womb. And the baby leaped for joy. The baby did. Now, you guys know where I stand on this whole issue, but I just want you to pay attention. Right? This is not, abortion is not an issue that the church is uncertain about. The church has been very certain from the beginning that babies in the womb are babies, that they are people, they are human persons. They leap for joy. They have emotions. They have personality. It's just not as developed. Some of us have personalities that aren't very developed. You know, that's just the cost of doing business in this world. But that happens. But this is a baby. They both have babies. But anyways, Elizabeth sees Mary, and she says to Mary, she says, "Why am I honored? Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And she blesses her. She blesses her. And she blesses her twice. She said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Right here, this fascinating little story, we see two women, two pregnant women. One, a woman who has been barren her whole life, an old woman. One, a virgin. These two polar extremes of womanhood. One, a woman too old to bear children. Another, a woman too young. And yet, they come together, both of them with children in their wombs. And that's the thing I want us to focus on today. Mary is called the mother of her Lord, the mother of Elizabeth's Lord. Why? Because she had a baby in her womb. Because Christ was in her womb. Because the Lord was in her body. Because God himself was inside of Mary. Elizabeth gives this greeting. The child was in her. The child was developing. Now, we know what happens when Mary returns to Nazareth. When Mary returns to Nazareth, people notice that things have changed with Mary. Why did they notice? Yeah, thank you, Earl. Exactly. Earl did this, right? When a woman is pregnant, the baby grows inside of her. If any of this is new information for you guys, just I got some books in the office on anatomy. We can go over those. But I won't draw you a picture. That could go wrong. But so the baby grows inside. But it isn't just that, and all the women in here, no, it isn't just that the baby grows inside, it's that everything changes for the woman. A woman's body changes, it has to change, because a woman's body has to go from being a body meant to support one life to a body made to support an entirely other life. It has to be a body made to support one person to a body made to support two people, and one of them isn't the same person. It has to change. The body has to change so that it can host life. Think all of these changes. One, the baby has to grow, so what has to happen? The hips have to open. Archaeologists can go and they can look at women and girls. They can, well, first of all, it's amazing that archaeologists can tell boys from girls. It's weird that, you know, our schools can't do that, but they can tell. They can find these bodies and they can tell the difference between boys and girls, and they can tell if these girls have had pregnancies, these women have had pregnancies. You know why? Because if you look at the pelvis of a woman, there's this cartilage that joins up between the different parts of the iliac bones, that whole, you guys know what a pelvis looks like, right? Well, when a woman carries a baby, there are micro cracks in that. Tiny, tiny, tiny little breaks in the bones that break the bones. And archaeologists, they can look at the hip bones, they can look at the pelvis of these women they dig up, and they can tell if they've had pregnancies. And they can tell, maybe not always, they can tell how many pregnancies, but they can tell if they've had either a lot of pregnancies or they can tell if they've had some really hard ones because they see lots and lots of bone breaking. A woman's body changes in other ways. Her hair grows out. I don't know that helps support the baby's life, but you know, it's one of those things that happens, right? Her breasts engorge. They get bigger. The mammary glands expand. Her body is chock full of estrogen and other hormones. Everything in her body changes to support life. Everything in her body has to change because there's another life inside of her. Everything. Let me say that again. I know that it sounds like I'm just beating a dead horse here, but remember this, because this is important. Everything in her body has to change because there's another life in her. And guess what? She doesn't get to pick. A pregnant woman doesn't get to choose whether or not her hips open up. She doesn't get to pick whether or not her breasts engorge. She doesn't get to choose whether or not her body is flooded with estrogen. She doesn't get to pick whether her hair gets really thick and long. She doesn't get to pick all of these things. It just happens. Her body does it automatically because that's what happens when you host another life. When another person is inside of you and your body is made to support that life and to grow that life, it just happens all by itself. Now, I haven't asked Emily this, but she can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm guessing in the morning, she doesn't sit there and say, grow a baby. Get bigger. Get bigger. I've never seen her do it. Maybe she does it when I'm sleeping. But it just happens. Her body does it automatically because that's how God has designed it. God has designed her body to support life. She doesn't have to work at it. Now, she can do things that are deleterious to the health of the baby. You know, if she starts, you know, smoking crack and drinking booze, it's probably not going to be the best environment. She can hurt the baby, yeah, but her body wants to do this stuff automatically. She doesn't have to work at it. Brothers and sisters, just as Mary's body, just as this virgin girl's body did all this stuff automatically, her belly got big, her breasts swelled, her hips expanded, all these other changes. Mary's body, the mother of our Lord, her body was full of hormones, and it did it automatically. She didn't have to think about it. She didn't have to plan it. It just happened. In the same way, when we have Christ inside of us, we change as well. When we have Christ inside of us, when we have another life inside of us, we change also. It is impossible to host another person inside of you and to not change. It has to happen. If Christ is in you, you will be changed. Now, you can be a bad, there are bad mothers in this world. I know, don't say that on Facebook or everybody will hate you, but there are bad mothers in this world. Okay, I think we're all aware of that. There are people who are making a hash of their Christian life. You can do a bad job of it. But these things are going to happen automatically. If Christ is in you, you have the Holy Spirit, ipso facto. If Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. If God is in you, the power of God is in you. And that power is going to change you. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is willing and working to change you, to transform you. When Christ is in you, everything about you is supposed to change. It's supposed to transform. You are supposed to become different. Just as a woman becomes a different person, she goes from being a woman to being a mother. She becomes something she never was before. She is transformed. Her body is metamorphosized. It's very literally, metamorphosis means to change form. Her body changes form from the form of a woman to the form of a mother. In the same way, Christians are metamorphosized by the presence of Christ in us. We are changed. We are changed. We are transformed. We become someone else. However, there are people that fake it. There are people who say that they're Christians. And this isn't new. This is when we get back into the book of Acts, we're going to run into more of these people. They're false believers. Read the book of Galatians. There are people who faked their faith so that they could spy on the freedom that we have in Christ. That's what Paul says. They're false brethren. There are people that put on those fake pregnancy bellies. They put on those silicone bellies, and they walk into the restaurant, and they say, oh, hello, can you get the door for me? I don't know if any of you ladies ever did that, but you know, you probably didn't sound like that. But there are people who do. They fake being Christians. They pretend. They play at it. So they, for what? They can get attention? I don't know. There are all sorts of reasons why women fake pregnancies. Attention, revenge, trying to keep a man. All kinds of reasons. All kinds of reasons people pretend to be Christians. But you know, there's another thing that happens, and this one doesn't have to do with pretending. There's something called false pregnancy. There's a medical phenomenon where a woman's body will go into signs that she is pregnant when she's actually not. She's not faking it. Her body's faking her out. She becomes deceived. She thinks that she has a life in her. But here's the difference. Now they have all these fancy tests you can run about whether or not you have a false pregnancy. They have these tests. They exist. But you know, there's one surefire test. Wait. Within 9 months, you're going to know. You're going to know eventually whether or not there's a life inside of you. Brothers and sisters, we are spending all of this time talking about Mary, talking about God in us, talking about Christ in us, what that means. We want to be like Mary. We want to have Christ in us, and we want to do it well. I don't think anybody's here this morning because they want to do a bad job of being a Christian. If you are, just raise your hand. Okay, so all of you want to be good Christians or you're liars. Not sure which. But I'll take you at your word. You all want to be better Christians. I do too. We all want to be good Christians. We all want to be good hosts for the life of God that is in us. We all want to grow Christ inside of us. That's what we want. That's what we want. Don't be a faker. I'm not saying anybody in this room is. I'm not saying you're a faker, but there are fakers. And I'm not saying that any of you are false pregnant. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is to examine ourselves. Paul commands us to examine ourselves. I examine myself. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. What do you have to lose? Test yourself and say, do I really have Christ inside of me? Do I really have God dwelling within me? Do I really have the Holy Spirit? Am I demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit? Am I being changed? You guys know that old song? Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, my Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. My precious Jesus, I'm not the same person I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's a knowing that my Jesus is changing me.
I mean, apart from being really flat at the end, that's a pretty good song, right? I mean, not me singing it, but it's a good song because it's true. If we really have Christ in us, if we truly have the Holy Spirit in us, little by little, we should be being changed. Little by little, we should be being transformed into the image of Christ. Little by little, the Holy Spirit should fill us with the fruit of the Spirit so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. So that we can lead others to the faith. So that we can help others see the goodness and glory of God. Little by little, brothers and sisters, little by little, we should see that bump grow. Little by little, we should feel and experience those changes. Little by little, every day, we should grow more and more like Christ. More and more like Him. I hope and pray we will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You do change us. You do transform us. Little by little, You change us and make us into who You want us to be. God, we pray for Your will in our lives. We pray that we would be transformed. We pray that we would be changed. Fill us with Yourself and make us people who demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Make us people who are full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, make it so. In Christ's name, amen.